The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Jack. This is Music Weekly. This week, the under-18s have taken over the programme as Underage Festival, the big summer gig for teens, takes place in London. In this programme, we'll be hearing from garage rockers 1001 from Devon, who are just 13 and 14.
I do like playing Are You Gonna Go My Way, because I just really love that riff.
If it's got a good bass line, then I like to play it.
Plus, we'll be telling you what we think of tracks from M.I.A., Foster the People and Wild Beasts. That's all in this week's Music Weekly from The Guardian.
Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Hammy and I'm stepping into Alexis Petridis-Sprogues and guiding you through Music Weekly this week. And if you didn't gather from the introduction what's happening this week, let me explain. Underage Festival is a festival strictly for 13 to 17 year olds who might not get the chance to go to many gigs and often miss out. So just like Underage is no adults allowed, the programme this week is no adults allowed too. Well, apart from the producer. Here in the studio with me is Jack and Janessa.
Hi.
Hello.
So just to give you a bit of an idea about who we are and what we're about, I thought we could all mention a few bands we like. Jack?
Hello, I'm Jack. I'm a new music writer at Red Top Magazine at the Roundhouse, and I like everything from Slayer to Miss Dynamite to MIA to The XX. I'm a big music fan, and I think right now we're getting a lot of great new bands who are being really experimental and pushing boundaries. So I think, fingers crossed, the rest of 2011 is going to be a good year for music.
Well, I'm Hammy, and I love 80s pop, especially 80s synth pop. But then it sort of then turns into 90s grunge and screamo music. But I do also like indie music a lot. Yeah, my favourite bands really are the Eurythmics. Annie Lennox is probably one of the best women in the world. But I'm also in a band myself, and we sort of create indie electro music, and we're all girls as well, so maybe the next wall paint, but anyways. Anyway, what about you, Janessa?
Well, I'm a student, and I run a blog as well, safetyandsound.blogspot.com, if anyone wants to check it out. But I'm open to everything, really. I mean, that's part of having a blog, seeing what comes my way and just talking about it. But my favourite bands are Arctic Monkeys, Bombay Bicycle Club and Wild Beasts. So quite indie, generally speaking. But like I said, I'm open to anything.
Yeah, looking forward to Bombay Bicycle Club at underage then.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, well, now you know a bit more about our music taste, we're going to take you through a few tracks we love right now and tell you why we like them. And we're going to start off with Jack's choice. This is MIA 27.
That was 27 by MIA, a self-released demo that was dedicated to the sad death of Amy Winehouse last weekend. Now, the track was posted on Twitter, it was a SoundCloud link, and it was supposed to be meant for her WikiLeaks mixtape back at the new year. And the track, I mean, it's had some controversy. It's been on the Daily Mail, it's been on The Sun, it's been widely reported around the world. Because some people think it's been released too early. I think it's one of those songs that MIA is always going to be controversial, and listening to it, it's either going to be, for some people, inappropriate and released too quickly, or for other people, it's going to be quite chilling, quite heartfelt, and it's a more appropriate tribute to kind of signal, unfortunately, the demise of Amy Winehouse and her addictions and the problems that she suffered. The song, to me, I think it's got quite a good beat. I think the vocals are quite good, the layers and the textures. I think whatever you think about MIA, she's definitely forward-thinking, and her last album was a lot more of a harsher sound. Tracks like Love A Lot and Born Free, they predicted that this year was going to be about hacking scandals and protesting. And I think whatever you think about MIA, she definitely knows, you know, what is current and what is topical, and she talks about that and she addresses it in the music. I think this track is particularly refreshing because it doesn't have that harsh sound. It's quite different. She's taken a new direction. But yet again, people aren't going to like it because of how soon it came out. Janessa, what do you think about the track?
I agree with you. I think musically, gimmicks aside, it's a perfectly good piece of music. It's certainly better than her old stuff, in my opinion. But I'm not really a fan. I do think that she relies on controversy for controversy's sake. And I think you're right, this is too soon. I think maybe a couple of months down the line, people could focus more on what she's saying and appreciate that maybe she didn't intend it to be shocking. She genuinely felt that it was heartfelt enough to be put out, but I think now people, knowing her past, are going to think that she's doing it merely for the shock factor, really.
Yeah. I mean, I think the demo obviously was made last year, so, you know, it wasn't intended to be released, it wasn't a rush release, and I quite like the way that the demo just ends quite suddenly. Mm. I think that somewhat mirrors the whole theme of the song, something being cut too short. But I think, you know, personally, even though I'm a fan of MIA, I think, you know, she could have waited a little bit longer, because it's bound to kind of contract controversy, even if she didn't mean to get that sort of media attention. I think as soon as you get something that's in the Daily Mail and it's been a kind of media outlets all around the world for something that was just posted on Twitter, I think yet again, MIA really needs to kind of maybe think strategically about which stuff she releases and when.
I just think there are other ways to push boundaries rather than just going for the obvious sort of big controversial topics. I think she could possibly, you know, be a bit more subtle about it. What do you think, Hammy?
She should have waited a bit and, as you said, thought a bit more about what she was releasing. I don't think she sort of, as you said, is business-minded. She needs to think of the reaction that she possibly would get from the public and the media to what she's releasing.
I mean, I think the track in itself stands alone. It's a good track, and it's chilling, and it says a lot of things that are really important, and she addresses it. And yet again, she's articulated herself better through lyrics and through music. But, you know, she's kind of
playing a difficult game.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think maybe she should take a step back and think about things before she puts them out there.
No, but without a doubt, she does have a lot of talent. She makes some really good beats. The backing to that song was, I think, incredible.
Yeah.
The topic aside, that's a really good song, I think.
Well, okay, just to summarise, I think we're all decided that the track's quite good and it's interesting. And I think it's promising for MIA that she's taking a new direction. She's being even more experimental. But, you know, probably it would have been better if it had been released slightly later rather than too premature after the death of Amy Winehouse. But anyway, on to Janessa's choice, which is Wild Beasts and Bed of Nails.
Right, so as Jack said, my choice for the week is Wild Beasts with Bed of Nails. And I think Bed of Nails as a single really just kind of epitomises the whole aspects of Smother, really. I mean, I haven't been a Wild Beasts fan for very long. I discovered them through this album, but I've since backtracked and listened to all their old albums, and really, I think they are just a phenomenal band. I think it's terrible, absolute travesty, that they got overlooked for the Mercury Music Prize, which we can probably discuss later. But I think really, as a package, it's got everything you'd want from music. It's evocative, it's dreamy, you've got the lyrics, you've got the literary aspects, you've got the two insanely good voices of Hayden Thorpe and Tom Fleming. It, for me, is really just a perfect piece of music. I mean, Hammy, what do you think?
Well, I am a huge Wild Beasts fan. I just think the intensity of their vocals just intrigues you so much. And they're just incredible, really. They never fail to impress. They're just...
No, I think their magic, really, Wild Beasts, is just the kind of consistency of them. I mean, they're perfect for the Mercury, really. They're so unassuming. Mm. Yeah. They're still a kind of best-kept secret for me, really. I mean, they get the festival slots and they consistently release music, but it seems that they never really got the critical acclaim until now. What do you think about that, Jack?
The last album was up for the Mercury, and I kind of feel like a lot of people, you know, if you're up for the Mercury one year with one album and then your next album isn't nominated, it's bound to cause, you know, disputes between people who are obviously working within music. And a lot of people have tweeted that they think it's outrageous Wild Beasts weren't on the shortlist. For me, I do think they're an outstanding band. However, there's just something about them where I feel like they keep using the same formula over and over again. Mm. And I'd like to see a slightly different direction for them and them to push more boundaries musically. I mean, I've seen them live and I think they're interesting, but they don't necessarily grab me as as overly exciting.
Right, yeah. I can see why you're saying that. They're quite a unique and quite dark prospect, really. I mean, they're never really going to get widespread radio play. But, yeah. And like you said, they have been nominated for the Mercury before, but this is an album which has got consistently 9 or 10 out of 10 reviews. Yeah. I think it's very hard to overlook that when something's got that large critical acclaim but still hasn't got the kind of commercial success.
Yeah.
I think it does deserve something like the Mercury.
Yeah, I would agree.
You'd agree?
Yeah, it's quite shocking that they didn't get it.
They really should have. They became a trending topic on Twitter the day of the release.
Really
the
did.
Only band that weren't in the shortlist that were a world trending topic. I think that speaks for itself,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, no, it does. I think, the Mercury Music Prize this year has slightly overlooked the albums that I think should probably be on that list.
Yeah, I completely
Stuff
agree.
Like Wild Beasts. I think, you know... There's stuff in there that's an obvious choice, like Adele, but there's stuff in there that I don't necessarily understand, like Katy B's album, for example. It's a shame Wild Beasts aren't up, but maybe, you know, they could bring out another record, show the Mercury Music Prize what they're made of. I'm not sure. I think it's just a shame that they've been overlooked this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think their time will come. I don't think you can suppress that sort of talent, and their time will come. But for now, I'm happy to keep them to myself. Yeah. So we've got a lot of love for Wild Beasts, basically, even though the critics don't seem to be seeing it. Us three love it, so that's a start. But for now, we'll move on to Hammy's choice, which is Foster the People with Pumped Up Kicks.
Yeah, that was Foster the People with Pumped Up Kicks. And that's probably my personal favourite summer song, as you could probably not see, but in the studio as it was playing, it's kind of hard to keep still whilst listening to that. But yeah, it definitely does epitomise a summer feel, even though it may be a bit absent in England at the moment. And it just makes you feel good, and it's a nice feel-good song. But it's quite surprising because it's only sort of recently got airplay when it's been around for quite a few months. Although they are sort of a recent band, when they started in 2009, I'm surprised this hasn't been as acclaimed as it has until now, so.
I think probably it's a summer song, and I don't think that track would work as well if it had been released in November over here.
No,
I think it was released last September in America, and it's just kind of made a steady introduction to the UK kind of mainstream music charts. I want to hate them, but I want to hate them because they're kind of this fuzzy indie pop band. I think they're taking, you know, it's kind of like last year when everyone jumped on the folk bandwagon, and I feel like they're doing the same, but that song is really catchy and I really like it. And I kind of wish them all the best.
Yeah, it's very infectious. Yeah,
it's just classic Americana, isn't it, really? Yeah. It just reminds me of the OC and the West Coast and cruising down.
It's got that Vampire Weekend Best Coast feel to me.
Totally, yeah.
I want to dislike it and I want to slate them, but I can't.
Yeah, I sort of love the whole scene around Foster the People, and, you know, as you said, Vampire Weekend and Best Coast, you know, the whole chilled out vibe, like surfing and in Malibu or whatever, that sort of feel, and I love that.
I mean, it's the complete opposite, really, to our other two choices. Yeah. You've got MIA, who's trying to like, say something. You've got Wild Beasts, who obviously take their music very seriously. And you've got this band who've kind of... It's just a throwaway summer hit, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Exactly.
Whether or not they'll ever make anything as commercially successful, I doubt.
Well, I did see them a few weeks ago at Lovebox, and... I mean, Pumped Up Kicks was the one track where everyone went mental. The rest was just a bit like stand still and sway your shoulders a little bit. But, you know, I do wish them the best. And unfortunately, I just think their sound has come now when there are a lot of bands that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think every summer has that kind of festival season where there's that one song that kind of takes off and everyone knows it. And I think that could possibly be the song this year.
Yeah, like The Temper Trap with Sweet Disposition.
Yeah.
I think that was like the big summer song a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Janessa has just pointed that out to me.
Yeah.
But I wish them the best.
Yeah, I do love them. So chilled out, makes you feel good.
Okay, finally on this week's programme, we thought we'd hear from some teens who are still making music in their own bedrooms. Well, nearly their bedrooms, as 1001, who come from Devon, are actually rocking out in their parents' garage in the garden. Music Weekly's producer Scott has been talking to Jack and Max from the band to ask them about their homemade music.
I'm Jack, I'm 13, I'm the rhythm guitarist, and there's Charlie Smith on lead guitar, he's 14, and Gary, he's on drums and he's 13. We pretty much all like Foo Fighters, Arctic Monkeys, Nickelback, AC/DC, like classical sort of rock.
Classic rock.
Proper rock.
Max, describe the music, the kind of music that you play to us. Why would you play it? What does it sound like?
Gutsy sort of guitar, good bass lines, melodic vocals. That's what we try to aim for.
And any, have you got any heroes or people that you're influenced by particularly?
I'm quite influenced by David Grohl. I like his music.
Any particular period, like Nirvana stuff, Foo Fighters, or everything?
I really like his Nirvana stuff.
I'm just kind of interested in how you got into playing instruments and how you took up guitar or the instruments that you play. Did your parents buy you one or did you get into it through school? Jack, how happened?
I was with my dad and I was in the car on the way to his house and Chuck Berry, Johnny B. Goode came on and I just fell in love with that song and I just loved the guitar riff in it, so my dad bought me an acoustic that Christmas.
And how old were you then?
I think I was 8.
Were you really good straight away? Did it take a long time to master it?
At first it took a while because I'm left-handed. I tried out left-handed, but I wasn't getting anywhere.
Right.
So then I ended up playing right-handed, which took quite a bit of time to get used to. And I used to get lessons once a week, but now I learn off YouTube and I'm self-taught.
Max, how about you? How did you take up an instrument? How did you start to play?
Well, my dad's a bass player, and one Christmas when I was about 8, he bought me a bass guitar, but it just sat in the corner until the sort of year before I said and Mum said that I'm not really academic, and I didn't have a lot to sort of show off, so I thought I'd pick up the bass. I had a shorter one. I was small, still am, but it was pretty big. Didn't really know how to use it, but Dad showed me how to use it, and he was showing me songs and that. And I've only been playing for 2 years.
Do you write your own music or do you cover other people's?
We do covers, but I write our stuff, but I've had my dad as well because he songwrites, mm-hmm. and he's shown me how it's worked, and now I'm starting to write own songs.
Where'd the ideas come from, your songs? Because like adults can write about all the different things that they've done in the past and the experiences they have and the places they've been and stuff like that. And when you're 13, you have to spend so much of your time at school, there's less opportunity to do loads of different things. So what is it that you write about? Where do you get your inspiration from?
Everything, I guess. What's happening in the world and things like that, because I watch the news every morning. We have a song called Eat in My Own Hand, which is about frustration, and that's sort of about it's politics and global warming. It's like sort of everything mixed together. And then the chorus is about too much red tape and too many rules. So, because the actual chorus goes, too much red tape, too many rules, no more powerful kings and queens owning all the jewels. And Dad tells me lots of stories and that, so even though I've never been in that sort of position, uh-huh. Dad tells me what it's like.
Do you just want to keep playing at home and with your friends, or do you want to make albums and release music and go on tour and be a proper rock band when you leave school? What is it that you want to do?
Get big, get famous, get noticed. Well known. A lot.
Really, why? What do you think that would give you that you don't get at the moment?
Fame. The money's good as well, I guess. That wouldn't be too bad. But the playing in massive venues with crowds that adore you, that's the main thing I want to do.
Jack and Max from 1001. That's it for Music Weekly this week. Alexis Petridis might be back next week. Underage Festival takes place on August 5th and tickets are on sale now, so be quick if you're after one. You can find the links for that and all the other things we've mentioned on the programme on this week's podcast page. It's at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. Thanks to Jack and Hammy too. Are you both planning on going to Underage this year, guys?
Maybe. I might be going. I'm going to be on a bit of a wild goose chase trying to get a 1am coach to the wonderful world of Edinburgh Fringe Festival, but fingers crossed I'll be able to make it.
Lovely. Hammy?
Yeah, I wouldn't miss Pegasus Bridge for the world, so definitely going.
Well, I hope you both enjoy your weekends. That's it for this week. I've been Janessa. The producer of this programme was Scott Cawley. Thanks for listening.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.